واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: يا فاطمة، كل عين باكية يوم القيامة إلا عين بكت على مصاب الحسين، فإنها ضاحكة مستبشرة بنعيم الجنة. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد.
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Says to his daughter, every eye shall weep and every eye shall tear on the day of judgment, except the eye that is weeping and tearing for the musibah of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wa salam. For that eye shall be smiling and it shall be given glad tidings of Jannah. As we discussed yesterday, the importance of the ziyarat that we normally do, and we also saw by the virtue of the verse of the Holy Quran when Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. That do not assume and think that those who are slain in the way and in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are dead. They may physically not be here amongst us, but they are alive and receiving sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on this ayat, we as believers of the Holy Quran deduce, therefore, that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu was salam, gave his life away in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in saving the religion that the Prophet had brought. Therefore, when anybody of us or the lovers of Ahlul Bayt say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, we have to have that surety inside our hearts that this salam that we are doing reaches to the one that we are sending it to. The salam that we are sending to the imams are reaching there, as it is already mentioned that they are hearing the salam and they do answer the salam and the reply. And there can be many examples that can be cited, but due to time, we cannot discuss all of them here. However, today I would like to touch on a ziyarat that I understand even the children of the madrasa are doing here in Portsmouth, and that is the ziyarat-e-waritha. As far as anybody is concerned, if one says, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, the salam reaches there. But there is this ziyarat which is called ziyarat-e-waritha, which has been dictated to us and taught to us by our sixth Imam, Hazrat Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adama safwatillah. And this ziyarat is recited every Thursday in every center. And there are other mu'mineen who recite this ziyarat every day of their lives. For it is a ziyarat which is very mujarrab, as the ulama say. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adama safwatillah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Nuhin Nabiyillah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Ibrahima Khalilillah. السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله، السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله. Imam Hussein عليه الصلاة والسلام is called the warith of all these anbiya that we have mentioned here, that the Ziyarat is mentioning here. Starting from Adam all the way to Imam Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah عليه. When a person dies, he leaves behind properties, estates, wealth, which is then divided and shared amongst his children. If a person has enough, according to his will, the executors distribute it in accordance to the will, or if the will is not existent, then they take the teachings and the support of the Sharia and they distribute it equally to the children of the deceased. However, not only materialistic things can be inherited. Things like courage, things like bravery, things like goodness, kindness can be inherited. Things like boldness can be inherited. For if a father is bold, and if the boldness is continuing, it can go to the children. These things are all inherited. That is why we find and we see that when Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to remarry after Janabi Fatima al-Zahra, he said to his brother Aqil, look for a woman who would give me a brave child. Thus we know that this bravery can be transferred or inherited by a child. Now, the history that we have in front of us, all the books are there, so is the Holy Quran. There is nowhere which is suggesting that these prophets had any estates or wealth in their hands. Except Sulaiman. وَقَالَ رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي مِنْ بَعْدِ أَحَدًا. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant me a kingdom, such a kingdom that you do not grant it to anybody else after me. And we all know he used to speak to animals, and he used to speak to things like ants as well. Apart from Sulaiman, there were no other prophets from Adam to Nabi Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who had wealth or estate, except Janabi Muhammad when he was given the land of Fadak by the Jews, which the people usurped, which was the right of Janabi Fatima al-Zahra. And we all know that. And when she went to the courtyard of the Khalifa, she said that, is it your religion that the sons of the prophets inherit them while the daughter doesn't? Is this fair? That is not my topic anyway. So, Janabi Adam never had any wealth or estate. So what can Imam Hussein or Imam Ali inherit from a prophet, from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam? Now here, I just need a little bit of a concentration to just see how things are. That Janabi Adam, when he was created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Holy Quran, as well as Imam Ali mentions this in Nahjul Balagha. The way Adam was created. Recite one salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala.
The way Adam was created, it is mentioned in the Nahjul Balagha that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took some of this soil, then this soil, and he took a few type of soil. He made the mold of Adam and he blew his ruh on Adam. And he said, وَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُهُ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Holy Quran, he said to the angels, then after I have made him, molded him, blew the ruh on him, fall onto prostrations to him. But before that, before he blew the ruh, he said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I am making on this earth a vicegerent, a Khalifa. The angels retorted, they said, Ya Allah, you are making someone who is going to shed blood on this earth while we do your tasbih and your taqdis, sing every single day 24/7 in our language. We do this tasbih and taqdis every day and you choose someone who is going to shed blood to be your Khalifa. Allah says, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know that which you do not. The angels keep quiet here. The angels keep quiet here. Thus we know that Janabi Adam was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his khilafat, for the vicegerency of Allah on this earth. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needed someone on this earth to represent him in the form of Adam, in the form of Nabi Adam salamullahi alayhi. And representation is only needed when the boss is not here. For example, when the president of a country goes away, he leaves behind the vice president, or he leaves behind the whatever he leaves behind. When the father travels, he leaves behind the son, that you take care of the things here. And we all know, when the Prophet ﷺ went to Makkah from Medina, when he migrated, he left Amirul Mu'mineen behind to solve all the problems, and said, I have got these things of so many people, return them back to you. Thus, representation is needed only when the boss is not available. However, Allah is everywhere. Allah is everywhere. Why did he need a representation on this earth? As he says to Janabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, kuntu kanzan makhfiyan fa ahbabtu an u'raf فخلقتك يا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. He says, I was a hidden treasure, Allah says, and thus I created you so that I should be known, and I created you to be known. Thus we find the hadith of a ma'asum which says, تخلقوا بخلق الله. Make your akhlaq the way Allah wants it to be, the way Allah's akhlaq is. Thus we see that Adam came to represent the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the akhlaqs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the trait of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as this topic of khilafat is already out, I would like to mention a riwayat here which I was reading a few days ago, which is very interesting, inshallah ta'ala. You will like it yourselves, because we all are the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, including Amirul Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi ajma'in. In the time of the king Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, a very bad tyrant of the time, equivalent to Saddam Hussein, maybe worse, he heard that this daughter, there was a lady called Hurra. He heard that this lady says in the marketplace that Ali is better than the previous Khalifas. Ali is better than Abu Bakr and Umar. He got enraged, because he is the one who told people to go and swear at Ali on the minbar. So he got very, very upset, and he said, call this woman here, summon her to the court. So he summoned the woman to the court. The woman comes to the court, Hurra, and he says, Hurra, I have been hearing these stories from you. Is it true that you are saying that Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib is better than these two? She said, no, King, you have heard the wrong thing. Your intel is not good. Your information is not correct. So the king says, in that case, what are these people saying whom I trust? They are saying, you are saying this in the marketplace. She says, I cannot compare darkness with light. I cannot compare ignorance with knowledge. This is no comparison. What I said was that Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is better than Adam. He is better than Nuh. He is better than Lut. He is better than Ibrahim. He is better than Musa. He is better than Sulaiman. He is even better than Isa. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Even today, if you dare mention this in some academic conferences, maybe this is a free country, you'll be left, but otherwise you'll be shot, you'll die. The king was so upset at this, he was enraged. He said, if you do not give me proof of this, I shall slaughter you, I shall kill you, your head will be out of your body. Give me the evidence. Hurrah, the name, free. She said, yes, Hajjaj, it seems you don't read Quran. And if you do, you don't understand it. Says, someone, what is the evidence? She says, listen, Have you read the Quran in which there is an ayah that when Allah created Adam, He sent him to heaven and He said, فَكُلَا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. Whatever you would want to eat from this place, eat. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. But do not go near that tree. فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Thus, what happened? Shaitan misguided them a little bit and Adam went and took the apple from the tree. She says, you've read this, haven't you? Ajaz says, yes, I have. Well, what did Allah tell Ali not to eat? He was allowed to eat everything. Yet you see that his food was nothing but loaf of barley and water. Everything was halal for him. So in my opinion, she says, he is better than Adam in this case. Okay, let's go further. Why did you say he is better than Lut and Nuh? These are Ulul Azm prophets. What is wrong with you, woman? She says it again. It seems you have not read the Quran. And if you have, you do not understand it. She says, tell me. He said, tell me. She said, in the Holy Quran, it is mentioned that the wives of Lut and Nuh were nothing but evil. And so was the wife of Imam Hassan alayhi salatu salam. And if I may add here, that the lovers of Janabi Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha and the lovers of Bibi Zainab can never be shayateen, by the way. They cannot be shaitan. But those who follow the traits of shaitan are shaitan. She said, haven't you read that the women of wives of Nuh and Lut were shaitans? These were evil women. Whereas when you come to Mawla Ali, you will find that his wife was Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, the mother of two imams, the wife of an imam, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on her own virtue, she was a ma'suma. Haven't you seen that? The Prophet says, Inna Allaha yarda li ridaha wa yaghdibu li ghadabiha. Allah is happy when she is happy and Allah is angry when she is angry. And had Ali not been there, she would have had no companion, the Prophet says. Therefore, in my opinion, Ali is better than Nuh and Lut on this issue, in this light. Hajjaj by now was already sweating. He said, what have I come into? What did I ask? Why did I ever have to ask this? Fine. Why do you say he is better than Ibrahim? Why do you say he is better than Ibrahim? Allahu Akbar. Ibrahim, Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says again, you have not read the Quran properly. Rabbi, Ibrahim says, Rabbi, arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. Oh Allah, show me. How do you make dead people alive? How do you make this? Allah says, Ibrahim, awalam tu'min. Ibrahim, don't you have faith in me? That you are asking me this question today? Ibrahim says, bala, walakin liyatma'inna qalbi. Yes, I have 100% surety, ya Allah, but I want my heart to be at ease, to be at rest. Have you read this, Hajjaj? Hajjaj says, yes, I have. So, how does it relate to Amir al-Mu'mineen? He says, now, haven't you heard the statement of Amir al-Mu'mineen? لَوْ كُشِفَ لِيَ الْغِطَاءِ مَزْدَدْتُ يَقِينًا. Haven't you heard the statement? That if between me and Allah the veils were to be removed, not even an inch of surety would be shaken in me. كَفَى لِي فَخْرًا أَن تَكُونَ لِي رَبَّهِ. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. وَكَفَى لِي عِزًّا أَن أن أكون لك عبدا إلهي أنت كما أحب فجعلني كما تحب. It is a fakhr for me, Imam Ali says, that you are my Lord, and it is fakhr for me that I am your slave. Oh Allah, you are just the way I want you to be. Now you make me the way you want me to be. Haven't you heard this? Hajjaj was now sweating from every inch of his body, because he had started it and he was getting it. He says, right, okay, what about Sulaiman? What about Sulaiman? Why are you saying he's better than Sulaiman? She says again, Come to the Holy Quran and you will see Sulaiman asks for a kingdom. Rabbi habli mulkan la yanbaghi min ba'di ahada. And Allah granted the kingdom to him. Whereas when you come to Amir al-Mu'mineen, you will find that he was given the entire world. In fact, in Hadith al-Kisa, we see that the world was created for them. Yet he says, Ya dunya ghurri ghayri faqad talaqtuki thalath. O world, go and cheat and deceive other people. I have divorced you 3 times already. I don't need you. In this, in my opinion, she says, he is better than Amir al-Mu'mineen, is better than Sulaiman here. Now we come to Musa. She says, okay, so what about Musa? She says, right. And inshallah, I'm going to tell you about Musa in the coming nights, but just a short thing here. When Musa killed one of the followers of Fir'aun, and when he was reported, and when he was given the report that now Musa is looking for you, Fir'aun is looking for you, you will be punished. فَتَرَقَّبَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا. He left in a state of fear. Quran is saying that, huh? It's all in Quran this. He left in the state of fear. He went to Madain, where then he got married to the daughter of Shaib. Okay? Now, she says, whereas on the night of migration, Allah revealed an ayah, وَمَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرَضَاتِ اللَّهِ, that when the Prophet was migrating to Makkah, he left Amir al-Mu'mineen on his bed when the swords were there to kill him. And he said, this is the best sleep that I had in so many years. Allahu Akbar. Oh, Hajjaj was now sweating even further. And he said, Ruh Allah, Isa, how can you say Amir al-Mu'mineen is better than him? He used to make people alive. Again, she says, you have not read the Quran properly. When Janab Maryam was in the mosque, she was praying day and night. Zakaria used to go and visit her day and night. But when the time of delivery came, she heard a voice. Ya Maryam, hadha baytul ibadah, aw darul ibadah, la darul wilada. O Maryam, this is a house of worship. It is not a house for delivering. Can you please leave and I shall guide you where to go and deliver Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Haven't you seen that? Yes, I have, a judge says. She says, when Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was in the womb of his mother Fatima binti Asad, she was pulled like a magnet towards the Kaaba, whereas the Kaaba tore and she went inside the Kaaba. 3 days later, she comes out and says, here is Ali, Ya Rasulallah. Here is Ali. The place, the holiest place, the Bayt of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is born there. And you are saying that Imam Ali is not better than these people? The Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah created Adam, and when he made him the Khalifa, what happened? And now we come back from where we left. He said to the angels, O angels, when I have created him, when I have blown my ruh on him, prostrate to Adam. Fasajadu illa iblis aba wastakbara. All of the angels prostrated except Iblis. He refused and he did kibr. He did takabbur. And this is one of the traits of shaitan. Recite one salawat, please. That is everywhere in the world. Pride, takabbur, what you call. And takabbur comes in stages. The takabbur that shaitan did was the ultimate. That's called juhud. The first stage of takabbur is ujub. Ujub means self-loving. When someone starts loving oneself, when in the morning they wake up and they go to the bathroom and then they stand there for about 20-25 minutes gelling their hair, nothing wrong by the way in doing that, it's nothing wrong, just saying, to look good. Of course, one should look good. Yeah. But it starts this way. When a person self-loves oneself, loves oneself, and then this increases, and now I am comparing myself to the other. I am saying, I am better than he is. I have got a better car than he has. I have got a better house than he has. I have got a better this than he has. My children do this better. My daughter does this well. My children are the, they have got 7A stars in their GCSE. His children are not that clever. And this is now comparing. And the last stage is called Juhud, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, which Shaitan did with Allah. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تُرَابٍ. You have created me with fire and you have created him with soil. You see, he's comparing now already. I am better than he is. Why do you want me to worship? And by the way, this shaitan, his name was Azazil. He was from the Malaikatul Muqarribin. He was from the very close Malaikas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that his beads, when they used to fall and scatter, the angels used to run for them and go and give it back to him. So close he was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet for refusing one order of Allah, he was ousted from heaven. He was ousted. إِنَّكَ مِنَ الرَّجِيمِ. And we are warned against shaitan today. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. That he is your open enemy. And what is the point of doing takabbur? What is the point of having pride in one's heart? For Imam Ali, he says, what is the point? I cannot understand this philosophy in this human mind. What is the point? That he has been created from a najis point, from a najis dot, from a najis qatra, from a najis thing. When he dies, even his wife runs away from him if he is decaying. Even his children, they do not want to see him anymore. They go and bury him in the grave. And during his entire life, he carries nothing but najasat in his stomach. Why then takabbur? Why then kibr? And this kibr is a trait of shaitan which took him out from heaven. So we see that when Allah created Adam and he made these people do sajda, the angels do sajda, Iblis refused. Now, the point I want to drive home is this. What did shaitan refuse? This is the question which we should ask now. Shaitan refused the appointment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did he not? Because Allah said, I am making a khalifa on this earth. Therefore, all those who accepted Adam accepted the appointment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those who did not accept the khilafat and the appointment of Adam, shaitan. Similarly, when you come to Medina, and when you see that on the day of Ghadir Khum, when Rasulullah says, Man kuntu mawlahu fahada aliyun mawlah, it was an appointment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Amirul Mu'mineen. Yet you will see that there were two people there, there were two groups there. One who accepted the khilafat of Amirul Mu'mineen, the other who did not. Now if you take the same principle that if you go to Janabi Adam, those who accepted the appointment of Allah were good people. Those who did not accept the appointment of Adam were shaitan. Similarly, the same thing. And furthermore, when you come to Karbala, you will find that everybody who called Imam Hussein were Muslims. Weren't they? They were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were hafiz the Quran. They knew Quran by heart. Yet they are the same people who fought with Hussein ibn Ali. What did they not accept? What did Hussein inherit from Adam that they did not accept and killed him in the plains of Karbala? The same thing. Imam Hussein was an appointed khalifa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Yazid and his people did not accept. Thus, he inherited khilafat from Adam. That is what he inherited, the Khilafat. And we see that in the plains of Karbala, those people who killed Hussein ibn Ali were all Muslims worshipping, doing sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So did Shaitan. Even Shaitan did the same thing. Yet we see that the traits of Shaitan can get into any heart and anybody if one is not careful. Thus, when people tell us to say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, or to say Assalamu alayka ya Waritha Adam Safwatillah is haram, then we ask them this question: by whose appointment were these holy noble people appointed? And if we should not accept their Khilafat, then why should we not accept their Khilafat? If there is a reason of not accepting their Khilafat, then bring it open. We shall follow you. But there is no evidence of any of their statements that they say. It is good and it is all right in the eyes of the world if the queen goes and lays a wreath in some place where they then remember the dead of the martyrs or whatever. It is all right if people go and remember or stand for 2 minutes for the people, ordinary people who die with disasters. Yet when we go and say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, it is not okay. It is something that we are doing shirk, we are doing something haram. There is no insaf there. There is no fairness there. The only thing is, we are just doing what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has told us to do. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Say, tell them, O Prophet, that I do not want any fees for my services, except that you love my dear ones. That is what I want from you. And today we are told that to go and do ziyarat is shirk, to go and kiss the dharih is not allowed. Whereas we have taken this appointment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the warith of Adam, who was an appointed khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that on the night of Ashura in Karbala, people were calling each other. They were exhorting each other. They were telling each other, this is the grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is happening to you that you want to go and kill him today? For wealth, for honor, for izzah, for this world, you want to kill someone whom Allah has appointed as a khalif on this earth. Yet you find people very much engrossed in the material life, very much engrossed with power, with place, with pomp, and thus they could do anything, and they could even go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, juhud was the order of the day in Karbala. On the night of Ashura, when the camp of Hussein had no water, when the people in the camp of Hussein were hungry and thirsty, when little children were crying for water, they were sobbing for water, they could not find water. They were looking at their uncles, they were looking at their fathers, hoping that sometimes or somewhere, from somewhere, water will come and we will quench our thirst. But no, it was not to be. During this period, Hur, the one who stopped Imam Hussein to go further from Karbala, heard this plea of the children. Al-Atash, Al-Atash. They could hear, he could hear nothing but thirst. Thirst, the sound of thirst coming from the mouths of the children. He was taken aback. He thought to himself and he said, what have I done? Why did I have to stop the grandson of the Prophet to proceed to Kufa? What have I done that I have stopped this noble person here in Karbala? And today, because of me, he is surrounded amongst the army. And they are going to kill him. He was walking in and out of the camp, thinking to himself, what should he do? This side there was hell, this side there was heaven. What should he do? Should he take heaven or should he take hell? In this decision, he called his son and he said, oh son, I feel regret that what I have done is not right. I have made up my mind. He confided in his son and his slave. I have made up my mind that I would like to now go and transfer to the camp of Hussein, to give my life away in the name of Hussein, in the name of Allah, in the name of Rasulullah, to save this noble man. What do you feel, O son? The son said, Father, your decision is wise, and even I will follow the footsteps. To this, Hur said, it is because of me that Hussein is in Karbala today. What I want you to do is, I want you to tie my hands. Tie my hands and take me to Hussein ibn Ali, and I will seek forgiveness from him. The son ties Hussein, Hur's hands. He takes him to the camp of Hussein. The moment they reach there, he falls on the foots of Hussein and he says, Ya Hussein, O Mawla, may my father and mother be ransom on you. It is because of me that you are in this plight today. I seek forgiveness from you, Mawla. I seek forgiveness from you. Please forgive me. For I do not want to go to Qiyamah in the day of judgment. What will I answer the Holy Prophet? What will I say to the Holy Prophet? Hur had heard of the generosity and the forgiveness nature of Hussein ibn Ali. The moment Hur said this, Imam was moved. He picked up Hur, hugged him and said, Oh Hur, you are free in this world and in the next world as well. I forgive you, my brother. The only thing is, you are our guest, but we don't even have water to offer to you. Hur wept here. He wept and he said, it is because of me that you are suffering this hardship today, O Mawla Hussein. It is because of me. When he heard the wails of the children from the camp, he said to Hussein, Ya Hussein, can you please allow me to go and seek forgiveness from the children and the ladies of the household of the Holy Prophet? The Prophet, Imam Hussein said, yes, Hur. You can go and seek their permission and their forgiveness if you wish. He goes outside the tent and he says, O ladies of the household of the Prophet, O children of the household of the Prophet, the plight of your thirst is because of me today. My Mawla Hussein has forgiven me. I want you to do the same, and please forgive me for bringing you to Karbala and putting you through this hardship. When Janabe Zainab heard this, she sent Firza out and she says, go and tell Hur, we accept and we forgive Hur, for we are from the family of the Holy Prophet. Forgiveness is from us, and we forgive, and this is from our nature. When the day of Ashura, the dawn came, other riwayats say that the dawn of Ashura, Janabe Hur mounted his horse and he went forward and he said to the people in Karbala, he said, O people, do you know what you are doing? Do you know who this man is? He is the grandson of the Holy Prophet. Leave him alone. Let him go wherever he wants to go. Do not color your hands with the blood of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. But to no avail. But to no avail. When Shimr and Ubar ibn Sa'ad heard this plea of Hur, and when he saw that the army was already starting to shake, he said, please go and kill this man. They all came and they went and they fought with Hur, but Hur had already been a very brave warrior. He killed so many of them and he came back to the Khaymah. He came back to Imam Hussein and he said to Imam Hussein, O Hussein, I would like to foresee what it feels like to see a son die. Therefore, I would like to send my son to first go and die. He sent his son. He went. The son goes to the battlefield and he fought with the kuffar. Eventually, as it was normal for these traitors to do, they all surrounded the son of Hur and they shot him and they killed him, arrows with spears and arrows. Suddenly he called on his father. Hur ran towards the son, so did Imam Hussein, so did Hazrat Abbas. They went and they saw the son of Hur falling. The son of Hur shedding blood coming out of his body, they went and they said, "Oh Hur, it is not proper for you to see the death of your son. I want to ask Hur, why do you say that on the day of Ashura when Akbar is going to be on the floor? There will be no one to take care of Hussein ibn Ali. He is himself going to come and raise the child and see Akbar in this sorry state." The time came that Hur then said to Hussein ibn Ali, "Ya Hussein, please allow me to go and give my life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam says to Hur, "Yes Hur, it is now your time to go." Hur took his sword, goes to the battlefield. He fought so gallantly, he killed so many people, and as he was killing people, surrounded people come and surround him from the back. Some of them were throwing spears, some of them were stoning him, some of them were putting arrows inside his body. Suddenly he fell down and he called on Hussein ibn Ali, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." When Imam Hussein heard this, he ran towards the battlefield. He went to Hur, he took Hur, put Hur's head on the lap, and he said, "Ya Hur, you are not only free in this world, but you are free in the next as well." And he took the handkerchief which was woven by Janabe Fatima, and he covered the wound of Hur alayhi salatu wasalam on his head. And this is how Hur passed away, and he went to the abode, and he went and met the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ha azizane muhtaram, azadarane Imam Hussein, ye wo shab-e ashur ka waqt tha ke jab Yazid apne aap ke saath سوچ میں پڑ گیا تھا کہ اس طرف جنت ہے اس طرف جہنم ہے, جاؤں تو کہاں جاؤں, کس طرح سے میں فرزند رسول کے ساتھ دغا بازی کروں, کس طرح سے میں فرزند رسول کے ساتھ دھوکے بازی کروں, کس طرح سے میں فرزند رسول کے ساتھ لڑائی کروں. اس میں اپنے فرزند کو بلا کے کہا, بیٹا بیٹا یہ ابن رسول اللہ ہے, کیا ہو گیا ہے ہمیں, یہ میری وجہ سے آج کربلا میں یہ لوگ گھرے ہوئے ہیں فوج اعدا کے ساتھ, میرے وجہ سے. اے بیٹا مجھے چاہیے کہ تو مجھے لے چلو امام حسین کے پاس لے چلو تاکہ میں معافی مانگ سکوں, مگر ایک شرط ہے بیٹا, میرے ہاتھوں کو رسی سے باندھ دو, میرے ہاتھوں کو رسی سے باندھ دو جا کے میں تاکہ میں حسین کے پاس جا کے معافی مانگوں. اپنے بیٹے نے, حر کے بیٹے نے حسین کو حر کو رسی کے ساتھ باندھا, حر کے ہاتھوں کو رسی سے باندھا اور اس کو لے گیا, اور ان کو لے گیا. جب وہاں پہ پہنچے تو امام حسین وہاں پہ تھے, امام حسین کے قدموں میں سر کو ڈال کے کہا, یا مولا یبن رسول اللہ, اے فرزند رسول, میری وجہ سے آج آپ اس مشکل میں ہیں, میری وجہ سے آج آپ کے خیام میں پانی نہیں ہے, اے حسین مجھے معاف کر دیجئے, نانا رسول آپ کے نانا رسول کو کیا منہ دکھاؤں گا قیامت کے دن, اے حسین مجھے معاف کر دیجئے. حر تو سنتا آیا تھا کہ اہل بیت معاف کر دیتے ہیں, اہل بیت کے ساتھ جو بھی گستاخی کرتا تھا جو بھی کوئی, اہل بیت اس کو معاف کر دیتے تھے. امام حسین نے حر کو اٹھایا, کہا, ہاں حر, ہاں تمہاری ماں نے تمہارا نام حر رکھا ہے, واقعاً میں تم دنیا میں بھی حر ہو اور آخرت میں بھی حر ہو, ہاں حر جاؤ لڑنے کے لیے جاؤ. بس یہ سننا تھا کہ حر نے کہا, حسین حسین بچوں کی العطش کی آواز آ رہی ہے, مولا عورتوں کی العطش کی آواز آ رہی ہے, میں ان سے معافی مانگنا چاہتا ہوں. حسین نے کہا, ہاں حر جاؤ جاؤ معافی مانگ لو. خیمے کے باہر آئے اور حر نے کہا, اے بچوں, اے بی بی, اہل بیت والو بی بی, مجھے معاف کر دو کہ آج میری وجہ سے آپ کے خیمے میں پانی بھی نہیں ہے. زینب کا یہ سننا تھا کہ فضا کو بھیج کے کہا, جاؤ حر سے کہو, ہاں حر ہم نے تمہیں معاف کیا, ہم نے تمہیں معاف کیا. بس یہ بات ہوئی, شب عاشور تمام ہوئی, جب روز عاشور آیا تو حر نے جا کے حسین سے کہا, یبن رسول اللہ, اے فرزند رسول, مجھے بھی دیکھنا ہے کہ جب بچہ شہید ہوتا ہے تو باپ کے دل میں کیا گزرتی ہے, میرے بیٹے کو بھیجنا چاہتا ہوں سب سے پہلے, اجازت دیجئے مولا. امام حسین نے اجازت دی, حر کا فرزند جا کے قوم اشقیا سے یوں لڑا, काफी को नारे वासिले नार किया, मगर जिस तरह ये धोखे करते थे पीछे से घेर लिया हुर के बेटे को और कभी गुर्जा मारा कभी नेजा मारा, यहां तक के बेटा गिर गया। बाबा को बुलाया, हुसैन और अब्बास और हुर दौड़ के गए मैदान की तरफ, देखा कि हुर का बेटा लाशा हुर का लाशा पड़ा है। इतने में हुर ने कहा, अब यबन रसूलिल्लाह फरजंदे रसूल, अब हमें इजाजत दीजिए जाने के लिए। यहां पे हुर को इजाजत मिलती है, हुर जाते हैं मैदान में जाके लड़ाई लड़ते हैं, वो लड़ाई लड़ते हैं काफी अशकिया को वासिले जहन्नम करते हैं, मगर बिलाखिर कोई एक सर पे इनके सर पे एक तेज गुर्ज मारता है कि आवाज आ रही है, या हुसैन अबा अब्दुल्लाह, हुर का आखिरी सलाम हो। जब ये सुनना था बस इमाम हुसैन ने अब्बास को लेके हुर की लाशे पे गए और देखा हुर वहां पे तड़प रहा हुआ पड़ा है, वहां पे सर में जख्म पड़ा हुआ है। जब इमाम हुसैन ने ये वाकया देखा तो अपनी मां का रुमाल निकाला और उनके सर में डाल दिया और कहा, इसी रुमाल के साथ अपने नाना को तुम जाके मिलना, इसी रुमाल के साथ वहां पे नाना को जाके मिलना। मातम हुसैन,
या हुसैन, या हुसैन, या हुसैन।